Thank you for joining us for this Repertoire podcast. And now, your host, Scott Adams.
Hey, everybody. Scott Adams here with Repertoire. Hope you're having a great day. We are going to be talking about the ADA's new standards that they have put out around different pieces of equipment. And I'm talking today with Brad Baker, who's the president of MTI. And this is a topic that is going to be on the forefront of your practices minds. You guys need to be aware of it. We're going to do a big content piece in the December issue of Repertoire, but we wanted to get this podcast out as quick as possible to get you this content. So before we do that, here's a word from our sponsor.
Celebrating 25 years in business, MTI is a leader in ADA compliant specialty care equipment with 8 unique models that meet the ADA examination chair standards recently adopted by HHS and the DOJ. MTI prides itself on continually innovating, striving to implement new technologies that improve the care experience for patients and caregivers daily. With hundreds of thousands of care experiences occurring each day using MTI products, you can trust MTI.
And thank you for sponsoring this podcast, MTI. We really appreciate it because this content is so important to the distribution channel as well as to the supply chain folks out there who are going to be buying these products and need to know what's going on with this new ruling. So without further ado, let's get Brad on the podcast. Here we go. Brad, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me today. I am looking forward to this conversation and this content because it is very important, not only to end users, but also to the distribution channel that's going to be out trying to educate these folks around what's come out today. So thank you for being on here with me.
Thanks, Scott, for having me. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. So we were supposed to record yesterday and you had an event come up. I got to ask, how'd your son do in his race yesterday? I know he got called up to varsity.
He did. Yeah. He's a freshman and one of the senior boys was sick and he got called up to run in state yesterday and did great. So he was excited and we were thankful I could go watch him. So thanks for changing your schedule around for me.
Yeah, no problem, man. That's way more important than obviously recording a podcast, but this podcast is pretty important for folks out there that are in healthcare. And so let's jump in. I know you talked to my business partner, John Pritchard, with the Journal of Healthcare Contracting recently around these new standards that have come out. But it kind of caught my interest as well, because I think distribution reps need to know what's going on with it, as well as supply chain folks. But can you talk a little bit about some of the changes that have come out and tell us exactly what it is?
Yeah, I think it's really important. What's happened is the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Justice have recently issued final rulings requiring medical and dental facilities to comply with the 2017 U.S. Access Board standards for accessible medical diagnostic equipment, or MDE in short. MDE are devices such as imaging equipment and mammography and x-ray machines, as well as weight scales and patient examination tables and chairs.
Can you talk, just kind of unwrap that for me a little bit and tell folks what that means?
Well, most of us are all familiar with ADA standards for accessible design. And those are standards which require, you know, grab bars and bathrooms and accessible parking spaces and ramps and other requirements like that. Now, similar standards exist for accessible MDE, referred to as the MDE standards, or more common in our industry, we refer to them as the ADA standards. MTI manufactures examination chairs, which are part of a group of devices specified in the MDE standards. And in 2010, how this all came about is the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act mandated the U.S. Access Board to develop standards for MDE, amongst them examination chairs. However, the act also said that the U.S. Access Board doesn't have the enforcing authority to enforce the standards. They were only assigned to develop them. So that meant in 2017, when they initially released their standards for examination chairs, they were not able to enforce them. And so not a lot of people paid attention to them. Now that two enforcing authorities, HHS and the DOJ, have adopted the U.S. Access Board's 2017 standards, it is required for healthcare and dental providers to comply with the standards at each of their facility locations where an examination chair is used.
Two questions to follow up to that. One, when does that go into effect, or has it already gone in effect? And, you know, for the listeners out there, and then at the location, you know, at the facility location level, are all of them going to have to be comply to the standards? And if so, how many rooms have to comply? Is there a percentage or is it an actual number?
Yeah, so HHS and DOJ both require every facility location which uses examination chair to have at least 10%, but no fewer than one compliant examination chair. Now, HHS regulates over facilities receiving federal funding assistance. So this includes facilities receiving payments from Medicare, Medicaid, and Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, and any other federally funded assistance program. And the DOJ's regulations is over all of the state and local government facilities. So if your facility takes Medicare, Medicaid, CHIPs, or any other federally funded assistance program, or your state or local government, at each of your facility locations where you have an examination chair, you're going to be required to comply. And there's two kind of date requirements to this. The first is by July 8th and August 8th of 2026, so essentially the summer of 2026. HHS and DOJ respectively say that each facility location where the chair examination chair is used must have that 10%, but no fewer than one compliant examination chair, which meets the HHS and DOJ regulated standards. The second part of that is if they're acquiring examination chairs of right now, it must also meet the ADA standards until that facility meets that minimum requirement of 10% or no fewer than one. And then the only little nuance to that is if your facility specializes in treating conditions that affect mobility, then your minimum requirement is 20% and no fewer than one compliant examination chair.
That's basically all of healthcare.
That's a lot.
What I find interesting is that they did this in 2017, didn't enforce it, and now it's all of a sudden going to be enforced, which is obviously a good thing. But when at what point do they have to be fully compliant?
So that would be summer of 2026. They're supposed to have 10% and no fewer than one chair, the examination chair that is compliant with the standards. And that's for locations that use an examination chair.
Go into a little bit of the devices that have to. I know we kind of just talked about who has to do it, but what are the devices that fall under this that the distribution reps really need to know about so that they can convey this information?
Sure. So our industry often uses examination tables and examination chairs kind of interchangeably to refer to the same device. However, the standard defines an examination table. They call it an M301 device in the standard as being used in a supine prone or sideline position. And in the documentation, they show a picture of an examination table, which is pretty much a vertically powered box table. Most of us are familiar with these. They typically have drawers and a backrest, and nowadays they also power up and down vertically. I also believe they typically don't have a footrest on them, whereas an examination chair in the standard is referred to as an M302 device, and it's defined as being used in a seated position, and they typically do have a footrest and a leg rest. And they go on to explain these are chairs often used in specialty practices like dermatology, ENT, podiatry, and dentistry, and those kinds of places. Examination tables and chairs requirements are mostly the same. One of the major differences is the examination table's transfer surface needs to be 28 inches wide by 17 inches deep, whereas an examination chair's transfer surface is 21 inches wide and 17 inches deep. However, there are really four other kind of major requirements for examination chairs. The biggest and most difficult to meet is that 17 to 19 inch entry height that HHS and DOJ have adopted. You and a lot of the distribution reps have probably heard of that measurement over the years. A lot of that comes actually from the ADA requirements for toilet seats and what manufacturers are pushing. So, but what's really particular about the standard now is it specifies how it has to be measured, which it needs to be measured at the highest point of that transfer surface, including any bolsters, down to the floor with the upholstery uncompressed. And historically, manufacturers, we've always, compressed the upholstery, and we've often measured towards the back of the seat, where the backrest meets, because it's usually the lowest point. We're always trying to get our specs lower on the entry height, but to meet the standard, it really needs to be measured in with the upholstery uncompressed and the height at the highest point on the transfer surface down to the floor. A lot of manufacturers don't meet this specification. We've have a lot of manufacturers that historically have said that their chair is 19 inches or even ADA height compliant. But when it's really measured per the standard, they often are an inch to 2.5 inches higher. Just recently, we were at a trade show event where a manufacturer said they're 19 inches, and we went over and measured their chair per the standard and actually measured 21 and a half inches. So a lot of manufacturers haven't changed any of their specifications to measure per the standard. So the I'd say the third, you know, real important requirement for it is a transfer support. So, you know, you're familiar with the grab bars and bathrooms, right?
Yeah.
Think of a grab bar now for an examination chair. So armrests don't qualify as a transfer support. There are certain requirements for the transfer support for its shape and size and length and how much of it can even be grabbed, and also how far away it is from the transfer surface itself. The fourth requirement is not as needed in a lot of places because it has to do with stirrups. And so if the patient is a person with disabilities and stirrups are being used, they must also have a leg support, which meets the standard. So that'd be something like a knee crutch or a boot or something to support the patient's leg while stirrups are being used. And then the fifth really significant requirement is examination chairs need to have the ability to transfer from two sides. And this is one of the other differentiators between tables and chairs is examination tables have to have the ability to transfer from the front of it and one of the sides of the table.
Yeah, right.
Whereas an examination chair, they have that same requirement, but they also have an exception where they can transfer from opposing sides of the transfer surface. So those are chairs that might be obstructed like by a footrest or a leg rest, such as an ENT or dental or podiatry chair, or something of that nature. So, but this is a lot to take in. You know, there's a lot of details and information that really the best is to ask the manufacturer if the examination chair meets all the requirements that HHS and DOJ have adopted. You know, for a distribution rep, you'd hate to assume that and only later to find out that, you know, that chair you just sold and didn't meet all the requirements and the customer trusted that you did. MTI has got our solutions advisor team out there that are available to answer questions from the distribution rep or the end user customer. So I just encourage everyone to please use them. They can help explain some of the more details of what's going on. We've also created a web page and a flyer with some more details that can be found at mti.net/ADA.
So I want to get into the repercussions for the end user if they don't comply. But after everything you just said, a couple other questions popped in my head. One, do you think most end users are aware of this new standard? And
no.
Two, no, go ahead. I'll let you answer that. And then I'll ask the second
sorry,
part.
Sorry, I was going to say, yeah, probably not. It's not very well known yet that they're required to do it. So it's one of the reasons why we're out talking about it is it is regulated by HHS and DOJ, who are the two organizations that have the enforcing authority to do this.
So that being said, for the folks listening to the podcast, I highly encourage you to share this podcast with your customers. So that way it's not necessarily coming from you. It's coming from a bona fide resource that's bringing this information. And then the second part of my question, Brad, before we get into the repercussions is, what about the current products that are in practices? Are they going to have to swap stuff out or is that grandfathered in?
I don't believe there's any grandfathering. Again, what they're saying is if you're buying an examination chair today,
so going forward,
the date actually already passed. I think one date was in July and one date was in October. So they've already passed. And if you're acquiring an examination chair, whether it be new, used, you're buying it, financing it, whatever, you're just acquiring it, it is supposed to meet the ADA standards until you have your minimum of the 10% or one of them. You don't have to go replace every room. And then if you don't buy or acquire something by summer of 2026, you're supposed to have acquired at least to meet the minimum standards of the 10% or a minimum of one of your rooms.
Gotcha.
And that's only if you have an examination chair in your facility. If you use examination tables or you don't have either of those devices in your facility, you don't have to go out and buy an examination chair.
Makes sense. Okay. That's great. I think that's excellent information for the audience here today. So they can reshare that. Talk about the repercussions a little bit and what they are. And, you know, I guess if they're going to start enforcing this, that we got to get this information out sooner rather than later.
Yeah. It's like any regulation you'd have with, you know, Disabilities Acts is anyone can make a complaint with HHS, the DOJ, or the U.S. Access Board that the facility doesn't have a compliant examination chair. and that they didn't receive the same level of care, which would be viewed as discriminatory, which then would likely initiate a review by the governing body. Again, it's really best to ask the manufacturer of the examination chair to verify that the chair does meet these requirements.
What do you guys produce that meets the requirements, just for the audience's own information?
Yeah, so we've worked really hard at this over quite a few years, and we've released 8 new examination chairs the past handful of years that meet these standards. And as part of our requirements, we also wanted all of our base styles to be compliant. So we didn't have to worry about, you know, someone trying to sell this base, a swivel base or a mobile base, and it not being compliant. So all of our base styles, including our standard, our swivel and mobile base designs, all meet the standards. Our team really embraced the challenge of designing products to be more accessible, and it's really led to some meaningful achievements. We've, by making sure that, you know, our chairs are compliant to these, we're really helping providers deliver better care and create happier and safer experiences for the patient and the caregiver. And we're also providing products to ensure that the providers meet their regulatory compliance requirements that they have.
As a closing question here, for just for my own interest, but as well for the distributors out there, how do you think this experience is obviously a huge issue in the last 5 to 6 years in dealing with healthcare, of making sure that the experience is the way it's supposed to be? How do you think this, even in the short term or even in the long term, will affect that?
Yeah, so let me answer that with a personal story. That the last time I spoke with John, I mentioned to him a friend of mine who has cerebral palsy. We've been friends now for 30 plus years. And growing up, he always wanted to do the same things that all his other friends could do. He wanted to play football with us and go skiing with us and do everything we could do. And but he's not able to in a lot of cases. And we've taken him NFL games and University of Utah football games. We've taken him fishing, a bunch of other activities. And the funny story I have about him is when we took him swimming. So we're all in our about early-ish 20s, and I'm standing on a diving board holding him up, and I've got a few buddies of mine in the water ready to catch him, right? And so I toss him off in the water, and he sinks to the bottom like a rock. And all my friends are looking up at me in astonishment, like, what in the heck just happened, and where did he go? So they swam down really quickly and retrieved him and took him out of the pool. But my point of the story is that people with disabilities really want to do and have access to the same things that people without disabilities do. And healthcare is no different. In a lot of ways, it's even more important, because people with disabilities often need to have more care and more frequent care than people without disabilities. And I really applaud the manufacturers that have made their products a lot more accessible so people like my friend can live a better life. I think that the rulings by HHS and DOJ are going to further their ability and the people with disabilities to have more accessible products available to them and be able to receive better care. You know, you'd never want to see a patient left in his wheelchair to be examined by a physician just because they can't, or, you know, right, it's too difficult to transfer onto a chair. And that's really what this regulation is trying to avoid, is you really want to get the patient in the examination chair so they can be properly seen by the physician. And I really admire our team for all their efforts and the details. They really wanted to make sure everything was just right to make our examination chairs more accessible, and also designed to allow the caregiver to provide better and more effortless care for them. And it's been really fun to be part of this this change in our products.
I appreciate you sharing that personal story. You don't know this about me, but my mom, when I was born, they found a tumor on her spine. She was 20 years old, and it paralyzed her from the waist down when I was 1 year old. And so you guys doing stuff like this to help folks with disabilities is incredible. And I applaud your work, and thank you so much for doing this. And I know it's not easy, and I know it doesn't come without cost. So on behalf of my mother and someone who's had to help her for the last 50 years, I appreciate it, man. And I appreciate you. And this content is great for the listeners. Brad, thank you for being with me today.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. I appreciate your interest in this. I had no idea that happened to your mom. You know, it's been interesting with my friend. It's just interesting how much they want to be just like anybody else, right? And I think this helps them, give them the ability to do that in another way. So I'm glad that you've been able to help your mom, and hopefully us and other manufacturers can develop products that help help people receive the kind of care they need to receive. So thanks for having me on and all your interest in this topic.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And I'll close with this with about my mom. So even after going through that, to your exact point of wanting to do what others did, my mom became one of the best sales reps. In fact, she won sales rep of the year several times during her career selling telecommunication equipment into hospitals. It's where I get my love of sales was from her for sure. So appreciate you, Brad. Have a great weekend. And I will talk to you soon, my friend.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you there, Scott.
Thank you guys for sticking with us through the podcast. That was a lot of great information. I do highly recommend if you need to send this out to your clients or someone who's looking to buy a chair, I would for sure take advantage of this 18 to 20 minute podcast so that they can hear it for themselves and understand what's going on. But probably give pretty good opportunity for you guys to get out and bring them some real value in delivering content like this that they need to know. And to Brad's point, most of them aren't aware of it. So it's better than a fine for sure. Thank you again for listening. And we look forward to our next podcast coming to you soon. Have a great day. And as always, great selling out there.